issues, and I refuse those lung
issues.
Amen. You know, right. Brother Jeremiah said you got to have a push and a press. Amen. And you know, when I broke all my bones in my body, I could push and I could do that. Right. You know, because I said I'm going to get there regardless of the pain. But when lungs are a little bit different, God's got to do that. Amen. You know, and I trust God. Yeah. I believe God. Yeah. And you know, I'm sick of Satan having his hands on this flesh, and I rebuke him. I take what my husband has said, and I accept healing 100%. Try a C, maybe.
Oh, I believe God. Oh, I believe God that he will do just as he said. Trust and obey. Believe him and stay. I believe God.
Sing with me.
I believe God. Oh, I believe God that he will do just as he said. Trust and obey. Believe him and stay. I believe God.
Oh, I believe God.
I believe God. Just trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, if every time you start believing, I think we ought to start believing.
Right.
You know, you're sitting there talking back there. You know, he's brought us all this way. Even when I didn't know where I was going, he was leading me, he was guiding me, he's putting things in place, brought me to this point to understand what I understand, to know I'm ready to step over into that land. You know, I got potatoes planted. I hope they harvest, but if not, I let the devil have them all. I don't care. I'm going home, and I'm thankful. You know, Romans, I was reading this morning, you know, with the heart, man believes unto salvation, but with the mouth, confession is made. Well, righteousness first time, salvation, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's so simple. I believe it, I confess it, I'm going home. Amen. Yeah. Amen, Sister Shelley.
I told myself I wasn't going to cry, but Sister Dawn did, so I can cry too then. But I'm so thankful to be here. I really missed my family.
Amen.
Outside of my family.
Amen, amen. Missed you.
This has been a tough one. I thought about Pastor Moore. He had said a long time ago, and I bring it up to Kevin all the time. He said, do you ever give your right hand or your left leg a thank you or say, hey, I appreciate, you know, because when you don't have it, it's hard, you know, and I'm thankful for my husband because he, you know, been there for me and helped me, and I had a long road ahead, you know. I don't know if you guys know, but I had back surgery in 2009, so with me waiting so long to have the surgery because I didn't want to walk down the aisle with a cane or a walker, you know, my pride, you know, and it messed up my back because I was teeter-tottering, and so it aggravated my back. So they were talking about, you know, maybe back surgery now again, and I was like, no, I have to get through this. But, you know, you should be thankful for your limbs. Yeah. I mean, because, like right now, the hardest thing for me is it feels fake. Mm-hmm. So I asked the doctor, I said, when is my brain going to connect with my knee so it doesn't feel fake? Like, just to turn in your bed is weird, you know, to get up is weird. Like, they're working with me right now, sitting down and climbing stairs. I can't climb stairs yet, you know. And I'm just, but I think to myself, you know, I will get through this, you know. Amen. And when they say 6 months to a year, that's what it is that you're trying to connect with that. And I don't know if you guys also know this, but it also messed up my stomach. 2 years ago when I had the cancer, they removed part of my colon. I don't know if you guys know that, but they removed part of my colon, so I get sick real easy. And then when I came home from the hospital, between the pain medicine, all my diabetes medicine, I was sick. When I say pill sick, I was pill sick. I took myself off of everything. Amen. I had to start over. I mean, my diabetes medicine, I have to kind of take that. I don't have no choice with my insulin and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a hard one, and I've been moody, I've been crabby, you know, just to go from the bed. We have a small house. Just to go from the bedroom to the kitchen is a chore. I mean, and then I think to myself, oh, I forgot that in the kitchen. I'll be like, I'm not going back to get it. You know, it's a tough one. You know, when you drop something, it's almost like, you know, because I'm having back problems now too. So it's one of those things that, you know. But I also want to let you know, like, far as my father, you know, what's funny about that, he's just now starting his physical therapy with his open heart surgery. He couldn't start his right away. Where my physical therapy, I don't know if you guys know this, what makes a knee so hard, your knee is swollen, okay? It's huge. And then you have surgery, like I said, I walked on mine for 8 months. Then I had surgery, and then they instantly are working you out as soon as you get home. I'm like, is my incision gonna tear open, you know? They're like, the first time when they came in and assessed me at the house, they're like, we're gonna bend it back. I said, bend it back, you know? You think, oh my God, it's gonna hurt, like, Lord, please help me. Like, I prayed a lot, like, Lord, please help me, you know? But I've exceeded what they want me to do in physical therapy. I'm already where I've already gone past my goals, but it hurts, but I do what they tell me to do, you know. Right. I know they're trying to get me better, but you got to just remember, when you have, like, my colon, I was able to lay down, let my wounds heal, and then start moving. This is a constant workout from the day, because they can't allow your leg to lock up. So it's hard to sit for a long time. That's why I worried about coming to church, and then my back is aggravated. So the only thing that relieves me right now is to lay down. So I knew it was, you know, a process, but I couldn't wait to get back here. And amen. Then the other amen. Thing is, too, which is joyful, one of my grandbabies is here, amen. Trey's baby, but he was 2 months early. So he's in the NIC unit. He had she ended up getting the placenta thing. She started bleeding, and then they kept her for 4 days. They're trying to, because the baby's lungs weren't developed. And then they the day they sent her home, her water broke. So I didn't know this, but I thought you had to deliver a baby in 48 hours when your water breaks. But I guess you don't have to. They were going to actually induce her today, but the baby had a different plan. And the baby is here, but the baby is in the NIC unit. But he's doing good. They just took him off of oxygen. Tyann's baby's due any day. My daughter's baby, she was supposed to come first, but that's, you know, that's not what God wanted. So, but I'm just, you know, I try never to come in here and complain, because I do have a lot of health problems. I mean, a lot. Kevin sees that. I take a lot of medicine. But I always think to myself, you're strong. You'll be able to get through this. You have a lot of people supporting you. And I'm thankful for everybody that reached out to me and that was there for me. Sister Dawn's always there for me. But this whole church, and I missed you guys. And I had even told Sister Clarice, I said, I can't get my internet to work. And I was frustrated because I did see Sister Sue. I knew she was testifying, but I couldn't hear anything she was saying because my thing just kept spinning. But I'm just so happy to be here, and of all times, you know, at Thanksgiving. But I'm just blessed. I just want everybody to know I've missed you, and I'm happy to be back home.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So the last 2 weeks has been, you know, like a little crazy because my friend's brother passed away, but I may be a friend to her, but I'm also blessing her for being there with her. And I'm also here to praise God because he's helped me through the whole 2 weeks, all the time, but he's helped me a lot through these 2 weeks, because dealing with my best friend and that situation, like, I stay quiet about it. I let her vent, but it's good to stay quiet, honestly. So I'm just here to praise him, and thank you, Jesus, and thank you.
Amen.
This is a pressing time, both in the natural and the spiritual. Right. And this bride is a strong bride.
Yes,
you know, Satan tries to put stuff on us, and we just knock it off. Amen. It's a pressing time. You know, the have surgery or be sick or to any of that stuff, it's tough.
Yeah,
and it plays with your mind. Yeah. But we got something so much more powerful than that. We got something that takes us through. I don't care what it is. Come hell or high water, this revelation will take you through anything. And I see it in the body. I see the body pressing. You know, I've seen a lot of knees. I've seen a lot of hips. I've seen a lot of shoulders. And I've seen people that give up, and I've seen people that press. And you got to press. But even more important than that is press in the spiritual. This is a time not to let down. This is a time to have your salvation sure. This is a time that we're so close we can touch it.
Amen.
We can feel it. And, you know, I thank God for being retired. I pray my brothers, some of my brothers can retire too. They deserve it. But the reason I thank God that I'm retired is not anything other than it slows us down, and we have time in the morning. We sit there and we read the scripture. And we talk about the scripture, something I couldn't do before. You know, I got up early. It's rush, 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 get to work. You know, life was busy. But now I'm just ripening in the sun and enjoying every minute of it, just ripening. And the word is getting so much more powerful. And the message is getting so much more powerful. And we go back, and I just tell you, young ones, get a wife, a husband that believes the word of God. It's a blessing to have somebody there that you're not fighting against, but someone you're pressing with. You know, it's just something else. But we just meditate on this word, and it's done so much for us, because as you get older, Satan is going to hit you with all kinds of stuff. You know, but we're stronger and stronger, you know, and I thank God. And I tell Dawn all the time, the only reason that God is doing this is because he trusts. And when God puts something on you, it's because he trusts you. And he knows you're going to be an example. He knows you're going to press through. But this truth, this revelation, what Pastor is preaching, oh, my God, it's beautiful what the ministry's doing, the cooperation we have here, the fellowship we have here, the love we have here, how the body rallies around each other. Just like our sister said, you know, Sway, that the body's there. When something goes on, the body's there. Sister Christy, the body's there. You know, and we didn't have that all the time. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's because we're taught right. We have a revelation. We have a balance. It balances us in the natural. It balances us in the spiritual. But I thank God for the truth. I thank God for his blessing. I look back on my life, and I see all the times that I messed up. I see all the times Satan just, and I say, Satan, you're just a liar. Yeah. He shows me all the bad stuff. I'll lay there at night, and I'll throw it back at him and say, Satan, I am victorious. And I listen. Brother Don, your testimony's helped me a lot. You know, I have to have my own testimony. But my brothers and sisters' testimonies help me, and I say, that is the truth. You have to press. You have to claim. You can't let Satan put anything on you. I don't care what it is. You can't let Satan put anything on you, because we are victorious.
Amen. I like that. If there's any time to press, it's now. We're in the end time. Amen. Every time Satan tries to put something on me, I get through it, and I look back and I think, what was that? I made it through it again. One more time. I'm thankful God's always there to balance me out. And I think it's just something detrimental, and I'm just gone. I'll make it through one more time. And it is a pressing hour, so I'm thankful to be here. We're going to sing through it all.
I was get up and you know, I was thank God for being here this morning. This is a Jeremiah on Wednesday about the end time. It's been a blessing because you know the bride can see it all. You know, it's not a secret with us. We know what it is. And I learned a lot too. I don't know, Pastor Moore, Jeremiah said about the Catholic that killed many Christians. I think you said. I didn't realize that. I was sitting like, wow, that's deep. I mean, it is because, you know, you look at the world, and the first thing that people think about when they think of Christianity, they think of the Catholic Church is the biggest thing, which it is, because everybody looks to Rome and looks to Catholic. They, you know, they just everything. But they're the ones, the devil all his own. I'm like, wow. I'm like, that show you how slick Satan is. I mean, he'll have you on one side thinking that, you know, the Catholic Church is so right, but they're not. And we're right in the middle of the road. And I'm thinking, God, like, thank God for that. I really do, because I just sat there and thought, like, man, I didn't even know that. And, you know, what I do know, this word is true. That's what I do know. I may not know about that, which I don't even care. But I know this message is 100% the truth. And I thank God for it. I really do, because, you know, I was telling Sway, you know, you can focus so much on what's going so bad in your life, but you don't think about what God's giving you. You got to think about God's. Don't give credit to the devil. Don't worry about that. Because the devil's going to be there. We know he's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to be there. But focus on what God is going to do for you, because God always going to get you through. He is. I mean, yes, it's tough when you're going through things. Yes, we know it's going to be. It's tough. We all go through things. We all do. But the thing about it, God's going to get you through it. Just stand still. You'll get through it. So we have a strong body here. I mean, you can think about everything that has happened to this body, and we're still standing? Shh, come on now. You cannot sit and tell me God ain't with us, man. You cannot tell me that. You're barking the wrong tree with me, because I ain't believing it. I'm not believing it. I know God's here. I can look at my own life. My life is just self, and I'm thinking, like, I should not be here. I shouldn't. You know how many times I wanted to just quit and just leave and not just forget it all? But God said, no, you still stand. Still walk. God's got you. Just stand. You'll be all right. You know what I mean? God wants a rugged bride, and that's what we are. We're rugged. So I just thank God for that. I couldn't sit there and just anymore. I've been quiet too long, really, and I wanted to get up. I was burning. But I thank God. I thank God for you guys. I thank God for this body. I mean, it's an amazing body, and I'm glad to be identified with you guys, because we're strong. We're rugged. So whenever you're thinking you're getting God, you got it. Just keep your head up.
Okay. You'll be here again this morning. I've been quiet too long, too. The Lord has been so good to me. I couldn't, first of all, bringing me here. That's, you know, one thing that Brother Chiller said to me one time, he said, you have been blessed to meet me. And I said, yes, sir, I have been blessed to meet you. And I'd have to say that about every one of you. Amen. I've been blessed to meet all of you, and I would think you've been blessed to meet me as well.
That's right.
And I just appreciate this body. I just want to stand and identify that what Pastor Moore, Brother Jay, and Brother Jeremiah preach, I believe every word of it.
Yeah.
Every word of it. Now, it might take me a minute or two or a month or two or a year or two or whatever on some things to put it up there, and then God reveals it to me. But this is nothing but the truth. And I've known for a long time that God is right here. Been here for a long time. I appreciate every one of you. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. If I don't see you before then, and God bless you.
Let me me get the announcements out of the way real quick. We got the dinner after service and no service tonight. Then Pastor and Jeremiah are going to San Diego first week of December. And then we got New Year's service coming up. So go ahead.
Amen. God put a song on my heart, and I'm just listening to the testimonies. And I'm thinking, boy, that's just right up the alley of what God placed on my heart earlier in the week. I woke up, I don't know, a couple mornings in a row just having this song on my heart. And I'm thinking, you know, I think you want me to play this song. So I'm going to do it. It's the goodness of God. It's in C.
Thank you.
sing through it all, and we'll get him up. I wanted to ask the body to remember my coworker. She's an office lady. I don't know exactly what her job title is. She kind of does everything. We call her Mother Teresa. But this another office person walked up to me, and she said, "Have you heard about Teresa? What happened?" I said, immediately knew something was wrong. She said, and she's a widow, so she's home alone. She said she got in her attic for something, fell through the ceiling, landed in the garage on her back, somehow made it into the house, called 911. They had to care flight her to the hospital. Mm-hmm. She's got a spinal fracture, so just remember her. Amen. And I want to sing through it all. We'll get him up. 231, key of D. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. That's why I sing through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've seen a million faces, but there were times that I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that I was his own.
Amen.
I sing through it all, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. That's why I sing through it all, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
Oh, through it all. Yes, through it all. So I thank God for the mountains,
And I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God can solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God would do. Oh, yes, through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Oh, yes, through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. That's why I'll say, through it all. And I've learned to trust in God. Oh, yes, through it all, through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we all go through something. But the answer's the same. Trust you. Depend on you. Lean on you. Stand on your word. For truly, Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will stand. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what trial, what tribulation, what personal loss, Lord, none of that is compared to the glory that is being revealed in us. Thank you for this opportunity to be gathered together this morning. Thank you for the congregation that's waiting to hear from you, that's looking to you for everything. And Father, we ask you as we come here this morning, help us lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us, and let us run this race with patience. Let us put aside everything that tries its best to pull us down. But Lord, let us hold on to God's unchanging hand, knowing that, Lord, no matter what we go through, no matter how dark it looks, there's always sun shining. There's always light somewhere for us to grab hold of. Lord, as we come and lay this word out before the congregation this morning, we ask you to come in and speak to our hearts. Oh, it's amazing what your word has said is going to happen. And it's amazing to watch it happen right before our very eyes. And Lord, as we look to the scriptures, we know that, Lord, you're going to fulfill it because you said you'll keep your word. And so, Lord, we ask you to come this morning one more time. Speak to our hearts one more time. Deliver us one more time. Just move us one step closer, Father. Oh, there's not many more steps that we could take before there's a body change. But Lord, we ask you to move us one more step closer this morning. Adjust our thinking. Open our eyes. Adjust our eyes. That, Lord, we can look at your word as the promises are in there and how they are really stated and not how we think they are. Have your way today, Lord. Bless this congregation. And, Lord, they've stuck with us this year through thick and thin and helped us and traveled with us and sent their money across the seas and done many things this year. And, Lord, we want to take the day to just say thank you. A little family time, thank you. And Lord, as we open this book this morning, come by here, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Touch those that are maybe not feeling 100%. Those that are recovering from sickness, Lord, ask you to touch. Those who couldn't be here today because of sickness, ask you to move on their behalf. Those that have needs, that are fighting spiritual battles, Lord, just move in here because we're all fighting spiritual battles. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness. And Lord, that's all of us. We're all fighting that. So Lord, I ask you to help us all. Move us up another step. Make us stronger so that, Lord, we could swing this sword a little harder. Let us look at this word like we've never seen it before and see it fulfill itself right before our very eyes. Thank you for everything, Father. Be with us this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. We made it one more time. We don't know how many more times we have. And we're not complaining about it either. This looks more like the end time than I've ever seen in my life. Things are lining up. I even read the scripture different. You know, you look at the scriptures, and the thing about the Word of God, God has these promises in there, and he's never left himself without a witness. He's never done anything in the dark, in a corner. Satan's never snuck anything on him at all. God's always had it, but our problem isn't that God didn't give it to us. Our problem is that we didn't know how to interpret his word. And we misinterpreted his word in such a way that we're thinking, well, it's this way. And then as you see the times change and you see the hour change and you see the conditions change, you don't even read the word of God the same. I know I don't. I look at the word of God and it's more real to me now than it's ever been. Anywhere I look in the Bible, and I've been reading this Bible for many, many, many years. And sometimes I read the scripture and it looks like I never read it before in my life. And the reason it's like that is because there's a revelation behind every move that God makes. And when God makes a move and then he takes you, he doesn't change his word. He just reveals to you what he's already done. That's what it's always been about. It's never been about God trying to make something happen. God always knew it was going to happen. He even wrote it down. That's how so amazing it is. He put it in a book so that we could look in here and see what he promises he's going to do. But we never beforehand see it. It's never as real as when it's already done. I mean, when you look at prophecy, prophecy is only as good as its prophecy. But when it manifests, then you understand to the fullest of what that prophecy even held. Because we look at the Bible and we read the scripture and there's all kind of things in there that we, Jeremiah Wednesday night blasted it. He hit the end time and tied it all together and put it all in one package and gave it to us and said, this is where we're at. This is what we're living in. This is where we are living. See, and there's nothing more real than the Word of God living right before your very eyes. Because you can look at history, and history's fine. But when you can look in the Word of God and see exactly where you're standing, the hour that you're living in, it leaves no room for doubt. It leaves no room for unbelief. And you'll sit here and you read the scriptures, and until God makes it real to you, it's just scriptures. It's just promises. But then God comes in and he gets in the mix, because I'm going to read a scripture that I've read 100 times at least. And I got excited when I read it last night because it had never fit the hour that we're living in like it fits right now. Oh, when we read it, you're going to understand what I'm talking about, because you can read about Malachi 4. And Malachi 4 don't mean as much to you. Oh, it means a lot because it's the Word of God. But when you see that you are the children whose hearts are turned back to the fathers, then it's more than just Scripture. You become the living Word of God. That becomes you when you read Luke 17 and 30. It's days in the coming of the Son of Man. And you understand that the Son of Man is the Word of God, the full Word of God veiled in human flesh. Amen. When you realize that that's the scripture that you're actually fulfilling. That's you. You're talking about you. That's the Word of God veiled in your skin. And that means more than anything else. That's why Brother Branham said that seventh angel when he got those seven angels visiting, he said that last one was more notable to him than all the others. Why? That was his angel. That was him. That was the job that he was supposed to do. And it's the same way with the Word of God. Oh, I could read Acts 2 and verse 38, and I can get excited about it because it's the Word of God. But you know what? Luke 17, 30 is more exciting to me. He said, well, how can that be? Because Acts 2 was the apostles 2,000 years ago, the disciples 2,000 years ago. And it was the Word of God, and it was fulfilled in the Word of God in them. But Luke 17 and 30, that didn't happen until the end time. The Son of Man was not revealed until the end time. We didn't even know the definition of the Son of Man until the end time. It took a prophet. We couldn't get this on our own. It took a prophet. Thank God for Revelations 10 and 7. Thank God for the angel coming down here and giving the revelation to the prophet. Who gave the revelation to us? You say that he gave it to us. We're preaching the same thing he's got. Oh, I know God's the only revealer of the word, but what he preached was the revelation. That's why you can't get it outside of this message. You go anywhere else in the world, you will never get the hour that you're living in like we are standing here believing it today outside of Malachi 4, Revelation 10. You can't get it anywhere else. So now when we look at the times, the signs of the times, because everybody's concerned now. Even unbelievers are concerned now. It make them get religious. Because everybody knows this ain't normal. They know that the hour that we're living in is an unusual time. You can feel it. Every time you turn on the news, it's all bad. It's going to, you can't keep up with a war. We were dealing with one war, and then another one started. They're throwing Ukraine to the side. Remember, Ukraine's in a war? But news traveling so fast, things are moving so quick that you can't even hardly keep up with it. And it just shows the signs of the time, the hour that we're living in, that it's such a late hour that the world itself is crumbling. Politicians are crumbling. Religion is crumbling. The world is crumbling. Earthquakes, fires. There's floods where there should be desert. There's snow in California. There's tsunamis. We didn't even used to know what tsunamis were. Hurricanes, fires. Brother Brown said those are birth pains. This world is in trouble. This world can feel, you know, when the promised son is about to come, it takes birth pains. This world is going through birth pains because the promised son is coming. And this world is falling apart. They talk about global warming. I thought, you know what, it's only fitting that the world's going to get warmer. Because it's going to burn off. It's going to get real hot before it's over. So nature itself is testifying of these things. And you can't look anywhere. They don't, the mass shootings, unless it's over 5 or 6, they don't even report it on the news. It's not even called a mass shooting unless there's... It's gone. This world is gone. So when you read the scripture and you can see the scripture lining up, it should enthuse you. And I'm enthused about the scripture I'm about to read because it's one that we've read forever, and I read it last night. I got so excited just reading it. I thought, Lord, how am I even going to break this? This is just every verse. And I'm putting this out here in advance because when I read it, I'm going to try to just read it straight through and not comment and then go back and comment. But when I start reading it and you turn to it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's going to be like you never heard it before. At least that's the way it was for me last night. Jeremiah's just drooling. He's like, what is it? What is it? I'm baiting you. I mean, I read it last night. And like I said, when I read it, I was like, oh, my goodness. Okay. We're going to turn over to a familiar scripture, one that we read all the time, Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read down through here, and I'm just going to read it. I don't want to comment. I'm just going to read it. I'll comment later. But I'm going to give you a chance to turn to it. When I read this, I felt like I hadn't read it ever in my life. And it's not new. So don't think I got a new prophet. It's not new. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at the midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not whether the day nor the hour, neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh." May the Lord add its blessings to the reading of his word. I want to title this message this morning, "The Midnight Cry." Now, we've talked about the end time. We've talked about the coming of the Lord. That whole scripture right there is a parable typing and showing the end of the Gentile reign. It's showing the hour that we're living in. I mean, when we look at this, and I'll go down through here and break things down, but when you look at it, this is the hour that we're living in. We've been spending so much time trying to get ourselves ready to go that we didn't realize that we're in the process of leaving. We spent so, and that's Satan's trick. Satan's trick is always to get you to look down the road. Someday, you'll be a good Christian. Someday, you'll get it right. Someday, you'll get a body change. Someday, and as long as you're looking down the road and not applying the scripture to the hour that you're living in, you're living in the shadow of a day that's here. So I wanted to go over here to Matthew 25 and just break it down a little bit. Because when you're looking at that scripture, it's showing the bride. It's showing the foolish virgin. It's showing the prophet. You know, this prophet, came out and prophesied and said, "It's over. The bridegroom's here. He's coming. He's coming." And the prophet's there. The bridegroom's there. Jesus. The bridegroom. All of the elements of the end time are right in front of our eyes. And we always put this out to someday. Someday Matthew 25 is going to happen. Someday the Lord's going to come again. Someday there's going to be a cry made that the cry will go out. Well, cry's already gone out. We can go over to Revelation 10. I won't do it to save time because we got dinner, but we're going to go over to Revelation 10 and show you that cry. When that angel come down and put his foot on land and sea, that was in his coming. Amen. That coming and Matthew 25 are the same coming. Amen. And we always put Matthew 25 as future tense and going to happen. And I was looking at this last night and said, wait a minute. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. He said, well, the all the elements are there. The wise virgins are there. That's us. Amen. What makes you a wise virgin? What makes you wise is that you have received the message from the messenger. You have actually had a prophet. You have actually said, he's right, I'm wrong. You have submitted to that. You've given yourself to that. You've become a virgin to the word. Clean. Untouched by man. That's what a virgin is. Untouched by man. The denominations, there's virgin in there, but they've been touched by man. They've got their man's ideals, their man's tradition, and Kevin's talking about the Catholic Church. They don't realize that Revelation is talking about them. When John wrote in Revelation, they're talking about the whore, but they also talked about the harlots. That's her daughters. Her daughters look just like her mother. The reason that's her mother because the daughters look just like her. You can always tell. I was walking with my sisters, and we were going through the airport, and we'd come through, and the lady sitting there, there was three of them sitting there at the desk. And there was me, Clarice, Jackie, and Melanie. And she's sitting there at the table, and she said, ooh, I can tell you, and you are related. Because you look just alike. And they couldn't figure Clarice out. I said, that's my wife. But they said, I know you three related. See, you look like your parents. Amen. So if John is calling the Catholic Church the whore, and what caused her to be the whore was that she had denominated and made a church denomination. What are the Pentecostals and the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Methodists? What are they? They are just like their mother. So it's a whore and harlots. That's an awful way for the Bible to describe you. They're not virgins. They've had man's tradition put on them. They've been touched by man. They've been handled, manhandled. But not the bride of Jesus Christ. Because she's a virgin to the word. And in Matthew 25, there were going to be five of them that were wise. And the other five were virgin because they're pure, but they're in with those men. They're in the middle of the denomination. See, you don't have foolish virgin in this message. I'm sorry. You people try to put them in this message because they try to justify the different groups that are in the message. And they try to say, well, because you don't believe like us, you can't be bride. So you got to be foolish virgin. But I'm sorry, foolish virgin are not in this message. They're out there in the middle of the whore and harlots. They're out there in the middle of the world. They're being manhandled. Oh, they're virgin because they're pure in their heart. But they're foolish. And when the bridegroom came and he sent out a call to wake up, come out of her, separate yourself. Only the wise did that. Only the wise did. The foolish virgin did not come out and separate themselves. They are not in this message, contrary to popular belief. Don't believe that. So the five wise has got to be the bride. She's got to be the bride. Now remember, when he made that call, he called all the bride. See, you're not just the only one. You might think, well, we're the only. No, the whole body is a virgin to the word. He winked at their ignorance each age to make sure that they were a virgin. He didn't hold that tradition of men against them because he was in the middle of building a body. He's getting them to a place where we could accept the whole word. And when we get to the end time, when that cry went out at midnight, not at a quarter till, not 10 till, not when we're getting ready to go, when it's time to go, at midnight, the cry was made. At midnight, we had a prophet. At midnight, the bride stood on her feet. At midnight, she recognized who she was. And the foolish didn't recognize it. They don't need a prophet. Didn't even know we had to have one. I mean, we didn't even recognize the lateness of the hour. Every time I look in this Bible, it seems like it's getting later and later and later. And every time I read the scripture, it's like, wait a minute, I looked at that wrong. Wait a minute, I was pushing that down the road a bit. I was putting down that midnight cry because Brother Branham said we're 3 minutes to midnight at one point. Well, that was early. Not now. Still not 3 minutes to midnight. It was 3 minutes to midnight when he was here. But when the midnight cry went out, it was midnight. Amen. What is that midnight cry? Amen. The message of the hour is, not was, is the midnight cry. That's why I could go over to Revelations 10, because Revelations 10 and 8, the same cry of Revelation 10 and 7 was the same cry that Revelation 10 and 8 made. And 7 said, it is finished. Amen. And what should our cry be? Oh, it's not close to midnight, people. It's later than you think. We're not sitting back waiting on midnight. We're right in the middle of midnight. Now, that's what I said I read in Matthew 25 a little different last night. And I thought, whoa, I've been putting it down the road, Jeremiah. I was waiting for that cry. But see, all these things are starting to come together. When he came, he brought his reward with him. The dead are already here. Our eyes are just not anointed to see them yet. But what's going to make you ready to see them is understanding the hour that you're living in. If we're still thinking we're 3 minutes to midnight, we're going to be still putting off something that could happen right now. Amen. Oh, we may not even make it to dinner. Amen. This bride is recognizing her day in this message, and this message is a cry at midnight. Not close to midnight. See, Satan's a trickster. He's a trickster. He'll push you down the road if he can. He'll say, oh, there's no God. Then when you believe there's a God, oh, there's a God, but he's not a good God. And when you realize he's a good God, oh, he's a good God, but he doesn't like you. And so, see, he's never going to tell the truth. He's never going to surrender. He's never going to throw in the towel. He's going to always do something. So, yeah, he don't mind you even coming to the message. He don't mind you even believing the message. He don't even mind you believing there's going to be a body change. Just not now. Just not now. If I can put it off just one more day, and that's every day that the sun comes around, Satan's like, oh, I hope I can just convince them one more time that it's not for them. Just convince them one more time that we're not there yet. Convince them a little more. And the whole time he's doing is trying to push off the inevitable. But this bride, she's a wise virgin. She's been given the word of God. She has the entire mind of God. She knows all that God was, all that God is, and all that he's planning to do. That's who she is. She's a special lady. She's not just down here, and we're waking up to the fact that we don't have to be here. We're waking up to the fact that it's later than we even thought. And I'll just talk for myself. It's later than I thought, because I know you already knew this. I'm just turned on because I'm finding out.
I'm just turned on because it's become real to me. And do you know what a revelation is? It's when the word of God becomes real to you. You can't even have a body change be tent until it becomes real to you. You won't even understand about the midnight cry until it becomes real to you. Do you realize I'm right in the middle of it? Satan will push you down the road. He'll have you looking at the foolish virgin saying, oh, I got to be here. I got to be here to do their job. No, they're chasing after you. They're looking after you. When it's time for me to go, it's time for me to go. Every foolish virgin that's ordained to come by my way will come by my way. I don't have to go look for them. I don't have to hunt them down. I don't have to convince them to give me a cup of water. I don't have to convince them to visit me. They're going to do it because they're virgins. They're ordained. Just as much as you're ordained, amen, they're ordained. Amen. You're ordained. You know what? They have a lamp. They trim their lamp. They clean up their lives. They're trying to take that step. They're trying to do the right thing. The only problem is the Holy Ghost ain't in there. No oil. And they're looking and trying to fix it up and thinking, if I get this lamp looking good, do you realize a lamp without oil will give you no light? And that's what they're doing. They're walking around here, feeding the sick, picketing, trying to hold this world together, trying to make it a better place, trying to get the votes to go their way so they can put their religion on people. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work by legislation. This world will not be saved by legislation. I don't care, Brother Branham said, you put Abraham Lincoln on every corner. It's gone. This world is gone. You don't even have people to vote for. It's like, you know, if it's a nasty, dirty family, and you say, I'm going to send you my best son out, and it might be the best, but if he's smells and raggedy clothes and just nasty dirt, never bathed. They're like, that's the best you got? Well, that's what we're dealing with now. You wonder why we can't vote? There's nobody to vote for. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. We can't even find good politicians. People who were honest back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s are gone. They're dead. Every generation has gotten worse. And now we're picking stuff out of the trash pile. We really are. And the world don't understand it. They don't understand what we're dealing with. They think, well, surely this one, surely that one, surely this is going to make a difference. None of them is going to make a difference. I don't care who it is. They're not going to make a difference. This world is on its way out. It won't. God's word will be true. And every man's word a lie. And the best they try to do, it will still be a disaster. So don't put your trust in government. Don't put your trust in the church. Don't put your trust in the Pope. Don't put your trust in nowhere but the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. And the bride of Jesus Christ is the only one who has the Word of God. Oh, everybody has the Bible. I ain't talking about that. They all have the Bible, but they don't have that final cry. That cry that went out in 1963. That cry that's going out even today. That same cry that was in 63 is the same cry that's going out today. But the voice is in the bride. The final voice is in the bride. So those foolish virgins had lamps, but they just didn't have no oil in it. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept. Down through the ages. Now, the foolish virgin are buried in the black. They slept. The wise virgins are the white. And they slept. While he waited, while he tarried, they all slept. So I've never read this scripture before. I've never read this scripture. Because I was always thinking that it's coming. And then I'm looking at it, and I read it last night. I got so excited. It says, most of this is already history. Like the Trump. Yeah, when I was preaching last 2 weeks ago. I'm telling y'all people, if y'all not getting it, I'm getting it. If y'all, maybe I'm the only one who didn't recognize the hour. But I'm looking at the scripture a little different now. Just to know that the trump is already sounded makes a difference. Because it don't have me looking for it down the road somewhere anymore. I know it all, the shout, the voice of the trump happened in his coming. That's what our prophet said. We just didn't believe it. We interpreted what he said. We interpreted Matthew 25. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the darkest part of the day, when there is no light. People get mad because Brother Childers colored that totally in black. He did that because the prophet said it. Because he was talking about the midnight hour. You know, there was a preacher, a Baptist preacher, years and years ago. First time y'all were even born, came by here. And he preached, strange things happen around midnight. Reverend Demas, strange things happen around midnight. This is a strange thing. We're in the darkest night there is. The darkest part of the day. We're sitting here. And the whole world is in the darkest part of the day. Midnight. They have no light. They have no light on their lamp. They've gone to church. They've become churchy. They've gotten lamps. They cleaned themselves up. They polished the lamps and they did all these things. But they failed to get the oil. And without the oil, your lamp is worthless. You can carry a lamp all you want without oil. Won't give you no light. Won't give you no help. And we're in a midnight hour. We're not close. That's why if you're not serious about serving God, you need to get serious. If you're taking this thing lightly, thinking, oh, Fairborn will always be there. I can go anytime. Did I say we might not make it to dinner? We are in such a late hour. And we are in such a point that the bride now, it's getting crazy. Because, yeah, I believed in the body change. I believed in the rapture. I believed it was coming. But now I believe it's here. There's a difference. There's a difference. And the whole church a couple weeks ago slid over the trump like, it didn't even make a bump. Just another revelation. And it's like the whole church just made that slide. And it's so funny because I know it didn't happen until the middle of the service. All up until that point. You know, it's like when Brother Branham preached the second pull in it, third pulls that hand. You see how quickly that happened? Right in the middle of his message? It wasn't a long process. No. He was preaching the third pull, and he got to the end of his message and said, look at the clock. If you're spiritual, you'll watch spiritual things. Yeah. Look at the clock. It's 2 o'clock on the nose, on the dot. Amen. Second pull is in it. Third pull's ahead. That's how quick that happened. The whole congregation moved from the second pull to the third pull right then. Right in the middle of the service 2 Sundays ago. The whole congregation moved and realized that the trump is not a future event, that it's already happened. It already happened. It's part of his coming. If you say he's here, then the trump has had to happen. The whole congregation made that move. You know what? Years ago, Brother Lockett, you know, years ago, we'd have a fight. Preachers would have been up in arms. Congregation would have been confused. Everybody would have made a mess. And that's the way we did things back then. We fought like cats and dogs. And I'm right. But God just moved the whole congregation in one shift. And you know what? Today I feel like I'm taking another shift. And you take enough of those. Oh, my. I'm looking at things different, people. Looking at the scriptures like it really reads. He did all three in his coming. Oh, Lord. And at midnight. Sirs, is this the time? All these messages of Brother Bradley. Sirs, is this the time? We've moved from 3 minutes, because see, we've been on 3 minutes to midnight since 1963. And in our thinking, we had ourselves waiting on the midnight hour and not even realizing that the hour that we're living in is the midnight hour. That the cry was going to come forth at midnight was the message of the hour that called the dead up from the grave. And at midnight, there was a cry. What cry? Message. A cry is a message. What is part of that message? Come out of her, my people. The other part of that is the Spirit and the bride say, come. Yeah. In Revelation chapter 3, they said he stood at the door and knocked. What was he doing? Getting the bride out of there. Get them out of their tradition. Get them out of denominations. Get them out of their own thinking. It's getting our minds straight, because, see, we didn't know what we were doing. It's taken us 60 years to get our minds straight. 60 years to figure out the day that we're living in. Huh? But what he has done already, I'm telling you, we always can see it when it's already done. The midnight cry has already happened, and we're sitting waiting on it. I'll just say, I have. I'll leave y'all alone. Y'all don't have to be honest. I'll be honest. I'll be honest. I was waiting on something that's already happened. Yeah, I said it. For a long time, two-thirds. Then right in the middle of the message, God said, we're not two-thirds there. I did that in my coming. And reading Matthew 25 last night, I told you, I felt like I never read it before. I'm like, oh my goodness. But at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Come out of her, my people. Brother Branham said, he asked the angel, said, Lord, where am I going to take these people? I'm calling them out of every denomination, every walk of life. What am I going to do with all these people? He said, take them back to the Word. Back in the Word. Do you know the Word is our land? Just as much as Israel's land is over there, the Word of God is our land. God won't bless you outside of your land. God won't bless you outside of the Word. He'll only bless you as you receive the Word. And here I am looking at the Word saying, Lord, I see, I understand what's going on. Amen. At the midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Not coming. Present tense. I think we've read over these scriptures. Jeremiah, I think we've overlooked some stuff. The bridegroom cometh. Not coming. It's a new day. Oh, that's another thing. Because at midnight, we stepped out of the seventh, and we moved into the eighth day. We moved into eternity. Okay. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Everybody did. Church people got churchier. Everybody's religious. You go to buy something at the store. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. Presidents are all religious. The world is religious. Everybody think they are. But the hour that we're living in, everybody's trimming their lamps. Everybody's trying to do the best they can with what they have. But the difference between them and us, we trimmed our lights and lamps, and we're trying to do the best. You know, I'm trying to do the best and present the best I can with my lamp. But the difference between my lamp and their lamp, my lamp's got oil in it. You can't light their lamp. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You can get light from me. You can get revelation from me. You can get a clear understanding from me. You can't get that from them. Go ask your bishop. Go ask your pope. Go ask your elders. They don't have a clue. They have no clue of the hour that we're living in. Tell them to go to the Bible and tell you where you're at. They won't take you to Matthew 25. That won't even be a scripture that they think about. All they do is they go over there, as it was in the day of Lot. So shall, and they don't even understand that. The story wasn't Lot, and the world's in a Sodom condition. God used sodomy, and sodomy, he used that to show the world condition. But the real truth of the matter is God was on the mountain talking to Abraham. He said, I won't hide anything from my friend. That's the real story. I'm going to give you a new body. I'm going to give you the promised son. There was so much going on that they didn't even know how to talk about. Amen. All right. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. They, you know what? They know something's wrong. They know something's wrong. They look at you and they know you're different. And that's why the foolish do for you. Because they don't know how. They don't know it's God. They don't know you're God. Oh, you can't say that, Nate. Too late. They don't know you're God. They know you're different. And because you're different, it draws them to you to do things for you. Even without oil in their lamp, they come, they want what you've got. That's why they come around you. That's why they come around. It's like, I don't have what you have. That's what I told Brother Childers when I met him. And he was preaching up a storm. I said, I don't have what you have, but I want to get it. I wasn't no foolish virgin. I was wise. But they look at us and they say, I know I don't have what Jay has. He's a good guy. I know he goes to church. I don't know, you know, our differences in doctrine are different, but, you know, he's a good guy, so I'm going to do what I can for him. I'm going to try to help him out. And then this man sitting here with all these get-out-of-jail-free passes in his hands. They bring a glass of water. Here you go. Give him a jacket. Jay, I see you lost a little weight. I got a jacket I think it fits you. I'm going to give it to you. Here you go. Closed. When I was naked, you clothed me. There it is. Jay, let me take you out to eat. Okay. When he's hungry. See, none of those things that they did for us had anything to do with salvation. These are things that they did because they felt like they love you. That's the foolish version. So they come and say, hey, I want your oil. I wish I could get what you got, because I know I'm not satisfied. See, the foolish version aren't even satisfied with their denomination. They know something's wrong. You could feel it in the air. Anybody with common sense would know something's wrong. And here they are, they're sitting there in their denominations, and they're thinking, you know, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right. It's not doing the thing that needs to do, but I don't know where to go, because they don't know about 1744 Superior Avenue. They weren't led by the Holy Ghost here. And so they're stuck in their denomination. The guy I met on the airplane who was in a congregation of 10,000, sitting right in the middle of a congregation of 10,000, sat next to me on the plane and asked me, do you think God even sees me? God flies on planes. He said, do you think God even sees me? I said, oh, yes, he does. This guy had actually escaped from a communist country with a volleyball across some street. That's how he got out of the country. So he did all that. He got into, it was a Russian Catholic church. He's sitting telling me all this stuff. He says, all they do, we got this huge church, 10,000 people in the congregation, and all they do is want more money, collecting money. That's all they ask for. They want to build a bigger church. They want to do all they do is go after money. And I said, don't worry about them. I said, you just go back to your church. Now, why didn't I preach you the message? Why didn't he try to save his soul? I had a whole flight. He's sitting next to me, couldn't go nowhere. Captive audience. It's because I know who I am, and I knew who he was. And I didn't want to change his doctrine. I didn't want to change his projection through life. He'd already run across Jesus. I told him, I said, you go back to your Russian Orthodox Catholic Church and sit right in the middle of that congregation, and God will take care of you. Now, out of 10,000 in that church, there's one. One foolish virgin in the midst of all of that. So they know something's wrong. They know it's not right. They would love to have what we have. To have the freedom that we have here, to know what we know, oh my goodness. But they can't. They don't have any oil in them. They will get oil. We even know that. We don't even worry about that. We know they're going to get oil. They're doing the best they can. And when God gets through with them, he'll give them the oil. Go to the same one that I got it from. That's the only way to get it. Why said, no less, but lest there be not enough for us and you. But go and buy it for yourselves. Go get it. Same place I did. Go to God. God will take care of it. I got just enough for me. This ain't even a family thing. I got just enough for me. He said, what about your token? Oh, my token will take care of what it's going to take care of with my kids and my family and loved ones. But as far as giving the Holy Ghost out, it's me. I got just enough for me. And while they went to buy, while they're out doing their dirt, doing their good, doing whatever they do, doing whatever foolish virgins do, what do they do? I don't know. Whatever do out there every day. You know, they don't have the peace we have. They don't have the rest. They're scared. They're watching the news different than I am. I'm watching the news comparing it to the Bible. They're watching the news scared. Because they don't know. Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe that's going to happen. Well, what about this? What about that? And, oh, how are we going to make it? Lord, you know, I watched Luther the other day. I watched the a documentary on Luther. You know, Luther never did feel like he had enough to make it. He never got to lay his head down like you do every night and know for surely that he hasn't made. That's the way they are out there. They're hoping they have enough. They hope they're going to be okay. They hope they pay enough penance. The Pentecostal hope they spoke in tongues enough. Baptists hope they did enough good works. Lutherans thinking that maybe, you know, if I do something, I can make it. I'll be okay. But the thing is, they are not like you. You go home and if, you know, when I was a kid, we used to pray. And when we pray, say, if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We don't pray that way. We pray, Lord, here I am. If I see tomorrow, amen. If I don't see tomorrow, amen. Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's our attitude. It's like, you know, I'm here as long as God wants me. The day he's through working with me here is the day I'm leaving. I'm going home. But while they're out doing whatever they do, they went to try to get it. He came. Came. Already did it. While they're out doing their thing, the bridegroom came. When did you, wasn't Elijah supposed to come? Before the Messiah? Jesus said, here he is. And you missed him. You did what you wanted. They never found it until it's already gone. While they're out doing their thing, the bridegroom came. And what did the bridegroom do? And they that were ready, the bride with oil. Do you know they had oil in every age? Do you know the Holy Ghost is the same in every age? They don't think you got something that Paul didn't have. See, people get upset when we say we got more than what Paul had because they don't understand. They don't understand. We're not talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about more information about the process of what God was planning on doing down through the ages that he didn't let no man know. The Holy Ghost is the same in every age. The oil was the same in every age. They went to sleep believing. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage supper, and the door was shut. The marriage supper. 3.5 years. Just ahead. So close you can almost smell the food cooking. Three and a half years, we're going to be gone. And they're not even going to, they're going to be so busy, they're not even going to miss you. Don't get hurt. When this happens, when the body change happens, there's going to be so much turmoil on this world. It is right now. This church could disappear today, and you know what? There's not enough people in here to hit the news. They ain't worried about a few people. This world's losing people by the thousands. By the thousands. They're leaving by the thousands. The storm's coming through, wiping out. That tsunami that years ago, they don't even know how many people died. They don't know how many Palestinians are dead. They're guessing numbers, but they don't know. But it's going to be a time that when we go into the marriage supper, that the rest of the world will be in such chaos that they won't even miss us. Let California sink. We have a heart attack when we have a hurricane. We don't have enough money to handle all of our disasters that we're having now because we're having hurricanes where there shouldn't be, tornadoes. We had... That year they had, 5 years ago, I think they counted 12 to 19 tornadoes in the Miami Valley. Huh? That was just in one night. When have you ever heard of that? Now we hear it a lot. We hear it a lot now. Something's changed. Strange things happen around midnight. After came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Oh, they're still going to church. They're still praising God. They're still trying to do their thing. They're scared now. The world's gotten, you think the world's bad now. When the bride's pulled out of here, Satan will have access to everybody. Nothing to hold him back. You ain't seen nothing yet. So the foolish are going to be coming, Lord, come on. I thought you were going to get us. Lord, let us in. Lord, we want to go. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. If you don't have oil, he doesn't know you. Watch therefore, for ye not. Watch for ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man. Son of Man. He's talking past tense. He's talking. We didn't even know what the Son of Man was. We read that. And when we read that with our denominational glasses, we read that as when Jesus comes again. That ain't what he's talking about. Remember, he comes in three sonships.
Son of man, son of God, son of David. Son of David, king. Son of God, unseen force. This right here is talking about Luke 17, 30. I told you I read that. Oh, my goodness. That's Luke 17, 30. That's not Jesus coming in the air. That's Jesus coming in the fullness of his word, because the fullness of his word was going to be put in a body. At midnight. Not before. Not the next day. Not 3 minutes till. But at midnight, the Son of Man was going to come, going to be put in the bride body. She was going to be the final voice to the final age. She was going to stand on her feet. She's going to know what it is. She's going to be able to call and bind and loose and do all the things that Jesus did. Midnight cry. More's happened around here than you think. You think that we're waiting on something. We're not waiting on something. We're right in the middle of doing what we're got to do. The body change ain't a big deal, people. You've already done more with the scriptures for your day than the body change. Son of man coming is you. He was talking about you in Matthew 25. Now that you know he's talking about you, let's read it again and put yourself and look at maybe you. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus told him, he said, you're going to long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Why? This is important. This longing for this day of this Son of Man was bringing about a rapture. And Jesus told him that you're going to want to see. And Brother Brown said, there's only been 2 days of the Son of Man. One was in Jesus and the second is in the bride at the end time. At midnight. At midnight. Brother Branham said here in Church Age book, what will be the punishment of the harlot and her children? Well, it's going to be twofold. First, he said, I'll cast her in a bed. According to the last part of verse 22, it'll be a bed of tribulation or the great tribulation. That is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. There were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise had oil, the Holy Spirit, but the other 5 did not. When the cry went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh, the 5 foolish had to run seeking oil while the 5 wise went into the marriage. The 5 that remained outside were left for the great tribulation. That's what will happen to all who do not go up in the rapture. That is what will come upon the harlot and her daughters. Secondly, it says that he will kill them with a death or as a translation says, let them be put to death with death. Do you know what? They're going to die. They're all going to have to die. When the bride gets out of here, the tribulation period will end up with no one alive. They try to make this comment, and people in this message try to say that there's going to be people who go and hide in caves, and they're going to be the ones that hear, because the Bible says that the lion will lay down by the lamb and it led by a little child, and they're trying to, with their carnal, stupid thinking, try to put a baby on the other side. There won't be nothing left. You think those bombs are busting those caves over there and all those underground tunnels, you think those bombs are busting. When God destroys this thing, there will be nothing left, cave or nothing. There will be not one piece of flesh left on the earth. So if you don't go in a rapture, the tribulation period means death. Everything's going to change. Luke chapter 12, verse 36. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for the Lord when he'll return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. That's us. That's all of us. Do you realize they were watching in every age? Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. We're talking about our marriage supper. He's going to get us together, and he's going to serve us. And if he shall come in the second watch, see, they were watching on the second watch, or come on the third watch, and find them also, blessed are those servants. There were seven watches. They watched, because every one of them was looking for the body change. They were looking for the rapture. But Paul told them, said, the end won't come until some things happen. But they were all watching for it because they knew that today, they were all looking for this day. You don't understand how important you are. They watched all the way through, and they were blessed because they watched. But they were trying to do what you're here to do. They weren't the Son of Man ministry. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man. That's take notes. For those of you who don't know this, when I was in college, and my instructor, says, I haven't said this in years, Don. Some people don't know what that means. When I was in college, and the instructor was giving his class, if he was going to say something and it was going to be on the final exam, he would say it, then he'd go, that means that's important. Know this, you will see this again. He said here, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. And that's exactly what happened. Son of Man came on the scene, and they weren't even looking for the Son of Man. They didn't even know the difference between Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. We didn't know the difference until we had a prophet. But when we got a prophet, the prophet showed us who the Son of Man is, the hour of the Son of Man. There were only 2 hours of the Son of Man. And if you wasn't there with Jesus, it had to be up here with us. And this hour of the Son of Man was at the midnight hour. You couldn't even do the cry at the midnight hour without the Son of Man ministry. Because you wouldn't even know what to say. All these scriptures run, people. I'm telling you. I sit and have a jubilee sometime when we're getting ready for service. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I can't wait to tell them this one. Brother Branham said, didn't Jesus say the virgins went out to meet Christ? Some of them fell asleep the first watch, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, to the seventh watch. But in the seventh watch, then come forth the sound, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And the ones that were sleeping awake. So, at the midnight hour is when the sleeping get up. And if we're at the midnight hour, they got to be here. So I don't see them. That's your fault. That's your problem. Doesn't mean they're not here. See, the thing is, God's adjusting our faith because we had faith that they're coming. But I'm finding out that they're not coming. They're already here. The scriptures are putting them here. Brother Branham's quotes are putting them here. The time of the signs of the times are putting them here. And then I go back to
The Old Testament, the prophet said, Lord, anoint his eyes. God put that in there for a reason. God wanted us to know that it ain't about them coming. It ain't about them not being here. It's not about something they got to do. But all God's got to do is anoint our eyes and allow us to see them. And all your fears will go away. All your troubles will go away. All your problems will go away. All your shortcomings will go away. All your doubts will go away. All you got to do is see them one time. If somebody don't believe in a ghost and you take them to a house that's got a ghost in it, you'll leave them in there about midnight. They'll come out a believer. It always cracks me up when people say they believe in ghosts, but then when one comes, they get scared. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And the ones that were sleeping awake, all the way back to Pentecost, woke up, see? From the seventh age, the seventh church age, all the way back through, woke up. And these that are in the church age, living, they were changed. And they went in. At the very time that they went in, the sleeping virgins come and says, we want to buy some of the oil. But they said, we just got enough for ourselves. Go to them that sell it. And while they were trying to receive this oil, the bridegroom came. There has never been a time in the history of the world that the Episcopalians, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, the papers are full. The religious papers are praising God. And those sleeping virgins are now trying to receive Pentecost, trying to receive the Holy Ghost. And don't the people realize that it will not happen according to the Word of God? While they were trying to come back, the bridegroom came and took away the bride. And they were cast out in the outer darkness for judgment because they rejected their invitation. This message is open to everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Don't play with this message. Because while you're hanging around trimming up your lamp and not getting the Holy Ghost, that's why Brother Lockett always says you must be born again. You got to have oil in your lamp. Don't just sit up here with a pretty lamp. Don't just try to clean up your life. My friend told me I'll come to your church and I drop this and I drop that and I move out of this and I drop that. And I said, well, what are you going to come to church for? And he never did come. You know what? He turned into a preacher, though. I know him. He's a Baptist preacher. I never remind him when I see him. I do see him periodically, but I don't ever bring it up. But he told me years ago, back when I was in the shopsmith cleaning department, and that's a long time ago now. He told me that, and I said, you'll never come. Now, he's got his life cleaned up to his approval. He's made it to the Baptist. He's even a Baptist preacher. And so I know he's trying to do good. He's got his lamp trimmed. His lamp looks better than mine. But you know what? When you got a used lamp, has a little carbon around it, the globe might not be so shiny. Ain't nothing cleaner and look better than a lamp without oil. It looks good. Caiaphas the high priest looked much better than Jesus did. Jesus had a little carbon on him. His glass was a little foggy. He'd been used. See, I want to be a lamp that's used. I don't just want to be a shelf lamp. You know, you can have a lamp and have it all cleaned up and have it sitting on the shelf and good for nothing. I want to be pulled off the shelf when the lights go out. I want you to light me. I want to have enough wick in me and enough oil in me that when you put the lighter to it, that it'll go. I don't have to be pumped to pride. I don't have to be made to serve God. I don't have to be made to want this thing. I love this message. It's not hard for me to light up. It's not hard for anybody to see the light of God in me because I'm full of oil.
He said, I got to pump up my, you know, those you know those lanterns, Don, that you get, the camping lantern? You got to pump them up. I'm not even one of those. My wick is soaking in the oil. And all I got to do is get a flame close to me. Just get somebody with a little bit of light. I don't even need a light. Just read me a scripture. Poof. Tell me a little bit about my day and this message. Poof. Oh, it doesn't take much for me to testify. You don't have to get her to pump it up. You know, those will pump. I don't even like those. You got to pump it up. Pump, 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 pump. Then you try to get them lit. Then you got to keep pumping and trying to get it going. And as you're lucky, it'll light up. Then you got to pump it up again. It runs out. With a wick that's stuck in the oil, you don't ever have to touch it again. Oh, my. It draws that oil up through it. Oh, my. Matthew chapter 7. These are people, same group that I'm talking about, this foolish virgin. Same group that had a lamp with no oil. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They did prophesy, and they actually did it in his name. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. See, we got answers for everything. They had that anointing, but it wasn't in the lamp. It was on the lamp. Throw a little oil on a lamp. You can light it for a minute. As soon as that oil burnt off, it's gone. Many were saying that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Same thing he said in Matthew 25. I don't know who you are. Here in Matthew 7, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity is knowing to do good and don't do it. See, they know. The church world knows. But because of the tradition of men and because of the cost of their money, money, popularity, and women, the Brother Branham said those three things are what get preachers. Those things that got them. And they know to do good and they don't do it. They know it when they know we're right. They can't even dispute it. I remember Brother Childers and Brother Reggie Byers. They got on the radio because they got these Baptist preachers and these preachers on the non-denominational preachers. They had like three bishops and big high-collar people were going to try to show Brother Childers and Brother. Well, actually, they were picking on Brother Reggie. Because Brother Reggie was loving this message, and he put it on the radio. And he was putting a message on there. He was preaching and singing, and he had this message going, burning their ears up. And they got mad, and he said, we want to have a debate with you, Brother Reggie. And Reggie said, bring it on. And Brother Reggie said, Brother Childers, I'm new in this message. Why don't you come with me? So Brother Childers and Brother Reggie went down to the radio station. There was three other bishops and big shot preachers. And they sat around this table. Brother Childers said it was one of these mics that you turn the mic around to talk. And they said by the time Brother Childers and Brother Reggie was getting them. But see, he was only in the message a year or so, and he didn't have all the answers. But whatever Brother Reggie didn't hit, Brother Childers said, give me the mic. And Brother Childers finished. So see, they know what's right. They know about the prophet. They won't even tell their people. That's where the iniquity come in. They know to do the right thing and won't do it. And God will tell them, get away from me. I don't even know you. And they did a lot of good works too. Prophesied, preached, did all these things. Men are all good works. I'm not arguing about their works. Their works are better than mine. Their sacrifices are better than mine. But the one thing they don't have is the ministry of the Son of Man. And they can't take that from me. Because that's exactly who I am. That's the hour I'm living in, and it's the midnight hour, and I'm the Son of Man on the scene, and they can't do nothing about it. Amen. Brother Branham said, now, you might be a fine, loyal member of a church. And I'm saying that's the Fairborn, too. So don't sit here and act like you're good. I like bringing us. I like bringing it home. But I don't want us sitting here acting like because I'm sitting in a message church, I'm safe. I'm sitting around the Son of Man. I'm safe. Judas sat around the Son of Man. Now, you might be a fine, loyal member of church. That's what cracks me up about message people. They get too good. They get so good, they stink. They judge everybody that moves. Everybody's bad, and they're the only, and you know what? They're the only righteous one, and they're not even in church. You know them too? That's like, my goodness. You're going to have the nerve to act like you're holier than I am? I always tell these self-righteous people, if you're so holy and so close to God, pray for me. Because I need prayer. And since you got the one-on-one with God and the inside scoop, and you know more than your pastor, pray for me. But if it's stinking my nostrils, how much more do you think God just despise? He can't stand it. It gets my righteous indignation up just thinking about him. Because they're self-righteous. If anybody in this church tried to think they were better than anybody else, I would smack you to the lowest ring. There's no big eyes and little U's here. There's no cliques here. There's no special people here. We're all sons and daughters of God. And if you think somebody's better than you, you're just as bad as somebody that thinks that they're worse. If you're looking up thinking, oh, I wish I was Brother Don, you're just as bad as Brother Don. Let's sit up to him. I'm glad I'm not like that heathen. There's no difference. You both got the wrong spirit. You need to get that off of you and quit humbling yourself so much that you can grovel. And then he needs to get the air out of his head so he can come down and walk. Because we're all on the same level. There's no big eyes and little U's when the revelation comes forth. Look what's going to happen when we go to the marriage supper. You're not going to be sitting at the head table. Because there won't be no head table. It's going to be the King Arthur's court. It's going to be just everybody on the same level. These self-righteous demons, I can't stand it. I'm sorry, but they get me upset. And it's like, I can't believe you think you're good. There is none good but God. And if you think you're too good to come to this church, then you really are. Don't come. You're too good for us. King Arthur's round table, there was no big eyes. Everybody had a piece to say. Everybody should have something to say here. This is the round table. We all got a testimony. We all got something to put in. We all got a part to play. There's no big eyes here. And if you think somebody's better than you, or if you think somebody thinks they're better than you, then you need to get out off of you. Because you can't even function like you need to thinking somebody's better than you. They testify better. They got this one. This one's got that one. No. I kick out every click that comes in here. They try to make a click. I break it up. They said, Brother Childers told me, he said, Brother Moore, they said, we're going to have a split. I said, where are we going? I won't allow it. You say you're better than me? I'm coming to sit right next to you. I get all up in your stuff. I can
help you out.
I will. Because we know better than that now. We've learned this over the years. This didn't come easy, but now we all see. Ain't nobody better than anybody else in this. You say, well, I need to come. I've never been invited to your house. You don't need to be. Come on over. My kids don't have to tell me they're coming over for dinner. They just show up, and I say, you want to eat something? I guess I've been a rude person because I never invited myself. I never waited for an invite. I always just go places. I show up at houses, Jeremiah. And I didn't know it was rude till I moved on Main Street. And I was telling them at work, I said, well, why don't y'all come visit me? They said, I'm waiting for an invitation. I said, invitation? I said, why are you going to have an invitation? Well, you don't just go. They then start describing me. You don't just go to people's houses without letting them know you're coming. I'm like, you don't? And I'm thinking, how awful I've been. If I feel like I'm coming over your house, I'm coming. He said, well, I might be doing the wrong thing. I don't care.
I'm not policing you. That's what I say. I don't come to your house to police you. I tell you I'm coming to your house, you're going to go clean it. If you live dirty, just leave it dirty. Oh, and Mike Prater was single. Woo! We'd hang out together, and I'd go to his house down there on the corner. Mike would be sitting up in there, glasses everywhere, pizza boxes everywhere. And I'd go in there, and I'd try to just get, and I'm like, Mike, can I just put these glasses in the sink? Can I just do it? I helped him out, but you know what? He wouldn't put in airs. He's like, this is me. Yeah. Dump that pizza box if you want. I said, you know. But that's my buddy. He didn't try to put on airs and clean up and try to make. No. But I tell him when I got his mic, you need to clean this place. I said, if you ever get you a wife, you're going to be a mess, man. You better learn how to at least clean a little something. So what do you do? Go overseas and get Joy. Joy loves to clean. His mom cleaned it for you? Yeah. Well, if she hadn't, you'd have got back on the plane. But you don't put on airs. Be yourself. That's what we are. We're brothers and sisters. I don't dress up when my sister comes over. I don't even put on shoes. I'm just saying. So there's no big I's and little U's in this church. Nobody's better than the other. We're all on the same level because it's just one body. You don't take your right arm off or your left arm off and put it on a shelf somewhere and say, oh, that's better than the rest of me. No, it stays with you the whole way. So humble yourself. Get over yourself. If you're all by yourself because you feel like you got to be by yourself, then get over it. You're part of a body. Revelation chapter 18. I don't even know if I finished that quote. I'm just moving on. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. We're asking. He's calling. Come out of her. Where does that cry come from? That's the midnight cry that we're reading here. Come out of her, my people. That's coming from the bride. It is so amazing to me that God talked all the way through the Bible, but when he got to the book of Revelations, he put it all on his wife. The bride, the bride, the bride. Spirit and the bride say, come. She's got to find a voice. The cry of the resurrection is coming from her. That midnight cry ain't him. The Son of Man, midnight cry, final voice. What are you going to do when you get that group of people who knows what it is to look all the way back? Then the rapture, I love the way he said it can go. He didn't say it can come. He said, then the rapture can go. Amen. All right. Harvest time, Brother Branham said. Yes, harvest time. The two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated. The fruit of those vines, which were as such variants, will be gathered into separate garners. The two spirits will go into separate destinations. Now is the time to heed the final call that comes only to the wheat bride. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye, the wheat, receive not of her the tares, plagues, the great tribulation of the sixth seal, and Matthew 24. Okay. All right. I got to wind this up. Who are the five wise? Matthew, according to Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist told us who the wise were. Chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat into the garner,
But he will burn the chaff, burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist even knew that. He knew that there was going to be a church. He knew that there was going to be groups gathered together. He knew there was going to be wheat and tares. And he knew that the wheat was going to be all gathered together. That's what's happening now at the midnight hour. The wheat has been gathered together. We know every grain now. We know every grain. It's all accounted for. Every name was revealed under which seal, Jeremiah? Sixth seal. And the sixth seal came before the seventh. And the seventh came at midnight. And the seventh was that final cry. And the seventh was the coming of the Lord. And the seventh brought all of his angels with him. It's all the same. It's all tied together. We were just pushing it up here somewhere. We thought we were 3 minutes to midnight. I don't know why we thought, you know, Jay always says, a broke watch is right twice a day. We were looking at a broke watch, Jeremiah. We kept looking at, Brother Benham said, we're 3 minutes to midnight. We're 3 minutes to midnight. We're not there yet. We're 3 minutes to midnight. We're close, but we're not there yet. We're there. We're there. We're at midnight. And I'm showing you things that happens around midnight. And I love that, Jeremiah, it was a new day, because that's a whole nother branch. We had to go into the eighth day. You couldn't stay in the seventh any longer. It went in total darkness at midnight. The darkest part of the day. I mean, all this runs. It all runs. And now that I got my head straightened, it makes sense. Now that I can understand those quotes of Brother Branham, where it always seemed like he was bringing him here, but yet he's coming, but he's got to do this, but yet he's done everything. And Jeremiah read you Wednesday night, there's not one scripture left. Not one. There's not one left to preventing from taking us out of here, because we're at the midnight hour. The cry has already gone out. We know the cry. We have heard the cry. We have responded to the cry. That's what's got you here today. Jesus got on us. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Everybody's looking for a sign. Everybody's looking for a sign. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, he said, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites. Oh, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? Jeremiah gave you a whole list on Wednesday. We are the best weather people there are. We know exactly what we're doing. We know exactly the hour we're living in. We know exactly what time it is, and it's not 3 minutes to midnight. Amen. That's right, Brother Branham said. Let's get ready for this midnight cry. It's coming in an hour when you think not. There'll be a cry not amongst the unbelieving world. They're not going to hear this midnight cry. Not amongst the unbelieving world. It'll be a secret. But the believers who are looking for this, you see the stars coming in line? See what they produced? Just exactly like it did the first time. See here? He's talking about when those magi went and they looked at the signs in the skies. And when they read the signs in the skies, they were able to find the Son of Man. Anybody who can read the signs in the sky will find the Son of Man. And the only ones that's going to be doing, only one that's going to be able to do that, it will be us. Nobody else can read these signs. They see that fighting over in Israel, and they're misreading that. Israel's being too tough. Poor Palestinians. On and on and on. They're misreading it. The whole world is. And they're going after Israel, but God didn't promised the Palestinians that land. God promised it to Israel. Now, we could take this side and say, oh, it's terrible what's happening, and it is. It's terrible for all the deaths, and it is. But the Bible says it was going to be this way. They can't read the signs of the time. Reason we can judge it right is because we can read the signs of the time. We're like the Magi. We know exactly. We look up. We see what's going on. We know Israel hasn't been in his land. We know they're going to have their enemies all around them. We know they're going to just try to destroy them. We know they're not going to destroy them. We know no matter what it takes, Israel will stand. Amen. We know there's 144,000 that's going to be saved. Amen. We know God's got word promises for them just like he has word promises for us. Amen. So they knew what they were looking for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm getting ready to shut this down. I got one quote I want to read. I'm saving for dessert. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Should I read that again for your good ear? He's going to bring them with him at his return. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's us people. We're alive and remain. We're here. Paul's not even here. So he's not talking about him. We which are alive are us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is the process that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Shout, voice, and trumpet. That got my thinking straightened. That all comes, Brother Branham said, while he's coming. Then we which are alive and remain, that's still us we, that's not Paul we, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. They've comforted each other all around through. And they watched, they fell asleep. 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 But now we're watching. We won't fall asleep. Because there's no more watches. Amen. The trump's already sounded. We're at midnight hour. The midnight cry is this message. Amen. Okay. All right. One more quote. And I'm going to close. This is the uniting times and sign. Brother Branham said, like the wise men coming down from Babylon, they screamed, where is he born, King of the Jews? He's on earth right now. We've got to find him. That's right. And listen to what Brother Branham says here. And I believe he's so close to coming that I can say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. I hear the midnight cry. It ain't, he ain't even said it. He did say it. I hear them written, I cry. Amen. We're right at the time of the end. Oh my, the hour we're living in. Notice. What a day. What a time that we're living. This great mystery of God being finished, bringing in Godhead, showing what it is, how these little isms, and they went off and made him this, and somebody made him this, and somebody made him that. But the angel of the Lord come down and brought up all these isms and pulled out the truth out of it and presented it. And there it is, just as perfect as it can be. No other way you could go. There it is. That's what he is. See, serpent seed, all these different things that's been so mysterious amongst the people? See, what is it? This is the sign to what? Sign to unite. Not just us uniting. Not us just uniting with message churches. It's uniting with the dead. Remember, they came with him in his coming. Those three things, shout, voice, and trumpet, happen in his coming. The midnight hour is when that cry went forth. And Brother Branham said, it is so close that I can hear myself say this thing. That's where we're at. The midnight cry. That's the hour we're living in. We're not close to this hour. We're dead right in this hour. We've been putting off in our thinking. But you know, the more we get our thinking adjusted, the more we can see clearly the exit. As long as we're looking and saying, well, someday, 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 we'll never. Yeah, if I look at that door back there and say, yeah, I'd like to go out that door. I'd like to go out that door. Someday I'm going to go out that door. And I just stand here. I'm 3 minutes to midnight. 3 minutes to midnight. This is going to happen. But until I start walking, when I start heading towards that door, it gets closer and closer and clearer and clearer and brighter and brighter. After a while, you got to get there. I know I'm getting my thinking adjusted. I don't know about y'all, but my thinking is getting adjusted. I see that door more clear today than I have in my life. Amen. That midnight cry is going on right now. How do you know? I'm crying it. Amen. The voice is in the bride. She's the final voice to the final hour. The reason she's the final voice is because she's the resurrection voice. Amen. Never before has a bride been in this position. And now I just walk around like, oh my goodness. Shake it. You know, Brother Brent said something one time he got a revelation of the seals. He had to go out and walk around a tree and shake himself. Sometimes I just have to shake myself when I look at this and I think, I know I don't see this like I need to. And I think, oh, let me just share it with the congregation. All I'm doing is showing you the revelation I'm receiving, and God's not adding anything to what he's already said. What we're doing is not interpreting the word wrong anymore. The hour that we're living in is the midnight hour. Yeah. The final voice came from the prophet, and it's in the bride. Amen. We're on our feet. We know what it is. Now the rapture can go. Yeah. It's closer than you think. You say, well, what if you die before it happens? It doesn't matter. All I do, you know what? If I die before it happens, all I'm doing is doing this, stepping in another dimension. I ain't going nowhere. I got to come back and get you. I'm just going into the other room. That's it. That's not like it used to be when you think, oh, when I die, oh, I'm going to go way over here somewhere. No, no. He cleaned out heaven. And he brought him with him. It's quiet up there. That half hour silence is here. You just can't hear them, but they're here. You just can't see them, but they're here. And if I do lay this house down, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one waiting on me. Oh, my. I'll just be over there doing the same thing I'm doing now. Come on, people. We got to get over there. They need us. They're waiting on us. We got to get their eyes open. Their message and our message is the same message. What they've got to do and what we got to do is the same. They're wanting to get over here as bad as we want to get over there. Oh, my. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful here? What hour would you live in if you could pick any hour? Oh, Lord. When I see these scriptures light up like this, and I, like I said, I got excited at home just trying to study, thinking, oh, my goodness. I've been looking at this thing wrong. Matthew 25 was talking about me all along, and I was putting it on. I don't even know who I was putting it on. I don't, now I look at it, I think, well, who did you think was going to do that? Of course it's you. But see, until the revelation gets on it, you don't even know it's your scripture. Same with the body change. Oh, we talk about it, we read it, just like we read Matthew 25. But when that body change really gets quickened to us, you'll say, I've never seen that before in my life. That's really me. And you'll be changed. That's the hour that we're living in. We're in the midnight hour. We have heard the midnight cry. It's not coming, people. It's going on right here in your ears. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this cry that's gone forth in this hour. Oh, Lord, you're tweaking our thinking in such a way that, Lord, we can't even look at the Scripture the same. And we don't want to look at it the same. I see us being closer now than ever before. And I'm not waiting on anybody else and trying to convince anybody else, Lord. That's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. And I see it clearer than I've ever seen it. And Lord, I pray that the body can understand my broken up pieces that I'm trying to put together to show them this puzzle. That we're all on the same page. It's all united under one God, one revelation, one Son of Man ministry. It's all happening simultaneously at the same time. And Lord, we can see that now. We can see the world falling apart at the same time as Israel running home, at the same time as their enemies firing on them, at the same time as the Gentile bride are getting her eyes open to where she knows exactly the hour that we're living in. And Lord, as all these things are happening, the world doesn't have a clue. But now we know what it is. And now the rapture can go. Thank you for this midnight cry, Lord. Oh, it'll make me look at it different. It makes me think of myself different. It makes me think of your word different. And it makes me see how close it is. That, Lord, we can make that final push. And if we've never been as serious about this word as we needed to be, God, help us to be so more so today than ever before. Let us not walk out of here the same, but Lord, let us recognize beyond the shadow of a doubt exactly what it is that you're trying to show us and get us to stand up and do. This final push is coming through the bride. As a brother said this morning, we got to have a push. This is the final push. And this push will bring us to a body change. It'll bring the dead into this dimension so that we can see them. And then it'll switch us into a dimension that we can all go together to meet you in the air. Oh, what an hour. Thank you for this message. Thank you for how clear it is to us. Help us to keep digging and looking. And Lord, there's more scriptures that's talking about us that we've overrun and overlooked. But as we find them, Lord, I want to turn around and share it with somebody else so that they too can see the importance of the hour that we're living in. Thank you for this group, Lord. Just be with us and keep us throughout the day. Thank you because this is the group that stood by me. And when people walked away, they stood. When people talked about us, they stood and stood their grounds. And Lord, when the end of the year comes, as it's coming, Lord, we've been working together as a team all year long. And today we want to just stop and take a moment to just say thank you. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this closeness. Thank you for this real revelation of the word that's given to us in this hour. Oh, Lord, let us move like never before. Lord, this is a conversation that I can't wait to have when I go to California to talk to the people there. I can't wait to wake us all up to the hour that we're living in so that we can begin to actually understand the hour that we're standing in and not pushing it down the road, but recognizing this day and this message. Thank you for it all, Father. Bless us and keep us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. It almost leaves you speechless. It's like, oh my goodness. It's a song that the angels cannot sing. You see, I'm a little dizzy. I am too. They'll be getting no service tonight. And we'll go back here and have a Thanksgiving family dinner. Appreciate all that brought things. And if you didn't bring anything, that's okay. There's plenty back there. If not, we'll go get some more. But it's this message is amazing to me. Just when you think you see it, you find out. I'm just getting started, darn. It's like there's more and more and more, and it breaks and breaks and breaks. And it'll break until we get out of here. That's what that final break will be getting out of here. But this is something the angels couldn't do. We're doing what they could not do. God could make them do anything he wanted. But he didn't want to make somebody. He wanted a willing vessel that would offer themselves up and say, I'll be that voice in the final age. I'll stand up and I'll be the one to call the dead up. I'll be the one to surrender myself to you. I'll give you it all. And don't worry about my life. You can have my life. You can do whatever you want with it. Take me wherever you want. Lord, I'm willing. That's what he wanted out of us. And that's what he's getting. May not be a lot in the world, but God never worked in a lot. He always worked in a minority. So God bless you. Let's go to the back. I'm going to go stand over there at the door. And oh, she's not ready? I can preach some more. If she's not ready, just let me know. I'll sit y'all back down. There's more quotes and things I didn't give you. I'm not trying to do all this. There was a day we used to preach for 4 hours. And we would go back. We'd preach. Brother Childers would preach for four. We'd preach for four. We'd go overseas and preach for four. And then finally we realized, you know, you don't have to do it that long. Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, just take a little chunk. And all I did this morning was took a little chunk. And with that little chunk, I just give you enough to understand what God wants us for this day. So, let's sing. Oh, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Yes, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, we've got the power in the name.